Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, hope all is well. Welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show. Guys, hope you guys had a wonderful week. You know what? It seemed like a week now turns up being like 24 hours. The week is up. Yeah, I can tell you it's moving very, very fast. Like I said, I truly mean that when I say I hope everyone is doing well. Keep saying your prayers, moving forward, doing positive things for the world. For yourself, your family, et cetera. At the same time, we have been talking about the teachers and about all the things that they do, the positive things. And we understand that there are some teachers in the world out here in the school system, a percentage of them, that really don't even need to show up at school, that they're not, in a sense, worthy of extra pay in a sense that we've been discussing. What I'm saying, meaning that to be more specific, they're not really teaching. They're just going there to show up, and some of the teachers are probably teaching them. They're not getting the job done like they're supposed to be doing or promise in their contract to fulfill. Bad behavior. Just pretty out of control. But those are not the teachers that we're discussing and talking about. We're talking about the teachers that's out there, that's busting their behind, that's getting up, dedicated, hardworking, keeping their eye on the prize, like my mom used to say when she was teaching. And when before she passed away, keep your eye on the prize, tunnel vision. And everyone else get the HEL out the way, because their goal and their objective mission is to teach these students in the way they should go, in a positive way. Learning is the first thing they want them to do. Pushing to have that, to move forward in life and to look back at that teacher and be rewarded of the things and appreciated of things that the teacher stood their back with behind them. We also discussed, too, about the duties. And I want to get onto a few duties that we're going to discuss that the teachers go out and work so hard for the students. We also mentioned, too, in the last two episodes about teachers having to be parents when the students are at school. A lot of students are going through a lot of things that are very, very dangerous at home. A lot of students depend on getting to school. A lot of students are not eating. They're hungry. And those teachers are there as parents. And thank God that they are there for that. And at the same time, but at the end of the day, you have to be a little parenting and involved with teachers, yes. And we also, too, discuss about teachers having to be, in a sense, in action and on duty and security for the crap and chaos that they're going through from people storming the schools, trying to kill the students, the teachers. You know, I did a topic. I said after 666, I said the devil is running loose. And I think now, if you go back and listen to what I said, I think you finally agreed what I was saying. But I have a talk that's coming up. The devil don't run crap. Jesus Christ Almighty can handle all that. Okay? Some people call him God. Okay? As long as you call him God, as long as you know what you're talking about, he can handle all that. So we have to keep praying to make sure that it's under control as much as we can keep it under control. We talked about the teachers, and we'll be discussing a little bit of this later, maybe. That how many hats, or we'll be discussing that, I will say that, how many hats does a teacher in this day's society have to wear? They wore some hats back in the day, but today's teachers, it is really awful. You can't, and another thing too, for your listeners, and even proves this is going back, I would say this, do not take for granted when a teacher name comes up. When you say teachers, automatically should be a light bulb. Everybody should stand attention to see what's going to happen, see what someone's going to say. Because, again, the teachers, do not think that I'm saying and we're saying. Do not forget that the teachers, really, they're the start of everything. They're the start that we have access to everything that's moving around the world. The teachers are the one that started you as CEOs, as professors, as young college students graduating and getting their master's plus 30, that doing all the positive things, it's because of teacher. The teacher was the start of all that. He wanted to help you get where you're at today. I said for today, president, they go for you too. They go for vice president, go for you too. Your governors, they go for you too. Senators, they go for you too. If you're doing something bad, they go for you too. Another teacher didn't teach you to be bad. Teacher taught you to be good. They go for you too. You have to rob the bank, they go for you too. You know? So giving charities, doing the right thing, they go for you too. Professional athletes, they go for you too. So out there doing the wrong thing, military, go for all of you. And hope everyone's doing the right thing. But the teachers are the reasons for all the seasons. They are. The nurses, the doctors, that go for you too. First responders, that go for you too. It's teachers. But somehow we've forgotten about that. Somehow we just don't care. Well, you know what? We'll let it go, TCP. Okay. But now, teachers coming in with now the students are coming in right now with guns. Before I bring Ms. Gibson in, I'll tell you this. I told somebody earlier. See, I tell people I grew up in a small town, and I was blessed to have parents, grandparents, that during the weekend sometime I would go to my mom's side of our family up in Dubuque, Louisiana, in the woods. When I say woods, woods. Then on the other weekend, I go to my dad's side of the family up in Bienville. I'm sure you guys heard of Bunny and Clyde, that Bienville Parish. Woods, deep, deep, deep woods. All right, so my dad taught us to handle a gun when we were the age of 10 years old. We was in the woods hunting with loaded guns. You guys go to my family home, you'll see go to my closet, I have camouflage, and we go home. We're country boys. My friends and that I went to school with in that area, we are. So we used to guns, and I know what a gun will do. A gun is easy. If anybody can pull the trigger, anybody. But you have people out here today, all of a sudden now they get a gun, they feel like they Superman or Wonder Woman, want to go around shooting people, huh? They go for the police officers too. Well, I grew up with a gun at 10 years of age. And you have to give people the upper respect and be disciplined when you're having a gun and things you're doing that's chaotic and going out of control. You also, too, got to be able to see your students and understand your kids, their behavior, anybody around their behavior. Sad to say this, we all have to watch and pray for everybody that's going out here with this chaos right now. People shooting people like they're just going out. Like we used to laugh, you know, we go out and shoot squirrels. I mean, I know you guys like shoot squirrels. Yeah, we used to go out and shoot squirrels, shoot rabbits, shoot the whole everything, you know, deer at all. Yeah, that's what I grew up doing. But one thing about it, when you pull that trigger, you can't get it back. And if you allow your students to get out there, come to school, parents, you just as fault as the student. I'm not going to say that as much as a fault, but I'm saying you have to watch best you can watch, okay? Ms. Deborah Gibson, how you doing? Thanks for joining the show, Students Radio Show.
I'm doing good. How are you?
All right.
How are you doing?
I was just talking about.
Can you hear me?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. Just my mind is on something right now before we go to the show. I was talking about gun violence, guns, and I guess I'm talking about gun violence. I guess I am. All right. So, you know my family. We grew up, I go home, I have guns, I go out to the woods and do stuff. I should have been a deer stand back at home.
I know. You were showing them to my nephews. They were so excited.
Yeah. So, you know, people see me, they see me in a suit and doing things. And I have something major, guys, that we're going to be discussing later in next month. It's huge, and I'm very excited about my board, the board that I have and stuff moving forward. But some major stuff that's a world changer. But I would like a world-end game changer. But I was saying that people see me when I go to the events. You know, I see me in a suit and with people that I'm with and everything, you know. But they really don't know. I'm a straight out the woods.
Yeah, weed country.
Right. Right. And
country's
I was talking about the, well, you know, you talk about guns, and I'm talking about my parents and my relatives have, you know, when I go home, they see, like, hey, you got all these guns. Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in the woods, you know, but the thing is that it really, really bothers me to see people now that they have a gun, and all of a sudden they feel like they are this type of hero or something. I don't know. And I'm saying this to say this is that, you know, I look at the police officers, right? That you have, I think you have noise in the back of your background, Ms. Gibson.
Can you hear the basketball game? Is that what you're hearing?
Yes, could you? Yes, it's, please. Yes, I do.
Black, can you turn it down a little bit? It's too loud. Okay.
Okay, so
I heard you. You was talking about when you go.
Okay.
And can we grew up the same way? We grew up the same way.
Yes, exactly. We're gonna get to the show. But what's bothering me is that, you know, you see police violence, and you have these police officers decide to run this guy down, and they want to have a punching contest on this guy, right? In a sense, and.
Mm-hmm.
The punching went a little bit too far, and the guy ended up dying, right?
Right.
And we're always talking about crime and police officers beating and abuse and all this, but now you have black officers beating a black guy. And no one's really talking about it, right?
Well, there are people talking about it.
Let me say this. Where I'm from, we all know how that's going to go down, okay? Ms. Gibson, you have to straighten out your background noise, please.
Is that loud? I'm trying to.
Yes, just straighten it out. Let me put you on hold for a minute.
Okay.
Okay. So guys, I'm going to have to talk about this later, another topic. Let me get into the show, and hopefully Ms. Gibson can go ahead and get her background noise taken care of for a minute. And We'll talk about that, but I pray for the family member's son happened getting beat down. I don't know if it was Chicago or what it was. I didn't even study. I just heard it. Okay. All right. So, guys, the topic tonight, when teachers retire, do you believe they should receive a huge bonus? Okay. So, and me personally, I totally agree to that. They receive a huge bonus because of all the chaos that the teachers are going through today. And I'm gonna give you a Bible verse I read before. It's called Proverbs 9, chapter 9, verse. It said, "Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still." It said, "Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still." It said, "Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning." Okay, I'm with Proverbs 22nd chapter 6 verse. It says, "Start children off on the way they should go." Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they would not turn from it. I tell you what, don't y'all be laughing other sides now. Y'all listening? Now, my mom used to tell me, "You better not be out there smoking, better not be out there drinking." my mom, she didn't play around. I mean, look here. I feel like this. She didn't play around. Okay, so I was in New York, even playing sports in New York with the Jets, and I still hear my mom in my background. I mean, at school, college, and I'm about to tell you, too. Like, no, Steve, don't be out there smoking. Steve, don't be out there drinking like that. No, you know, they'll tell you. I don't care. You can go as far as you want to go, my brother tell you. Steve don't be smoking. He never done drugs. No, he doesn't. Because I used to hear my mom in my background. I just felt like she was about to just swing on me or something. So that is so true. Proverbs 22, chapter 6, verses says, start the children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Psalms 32nd chapter, 8th verse, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Let me bring Ms. Gibson back in. Ms. Gibson, you ready to rock
and roll? Okay, can you see or hear it?
No, I can. Just a little bit. So what do you think, Ms. Gibson, now?
I hate football, too. I'm sorry.
Ms. Gibson, you ready to rock and roll tonight? We need to meet you
it's a basketball game
you...
on. I'm sorry.
Okay, exactly. I hear you. Yeah, okay. So, Ms. Gibson, how's your evening going, by the way? Everything's going well for you? I see you watching this in basketball, but everything is going well?
Oh, well, you know, we're getting ready to have bad weather. It's supposed to start snowing tonight, but the weather men and women say that it's going to pass over us. But they said that last time, too, and we woke up the next morning and it was white everywhere. So
wow.
I don't even pay them any attention. I just wake up and look out the window and see what it's going to look like.
Yeah, we hope that you guys' weather is to pass over and it'll be very, very nice in the next few days, but hope it doesn't get that dangerous for you guys. But let me ask you a question. When teachers retire, do you believe they should receive a huge bonus?
Look, my cousin went off. She saw the post, she went off. She said, excuse me? No, we need to get paid right now. She posted in the message box. No, we need to get paid right now. Yes, we need a bonus, and we need to be getting paid right now. Because I told you, that's the issue. I mean, they have not taken care of the teachers. And so it's like, if you're not going to pay them now, would they really give them a bonus? Yes, they should. They should. The teachers, that's been a subject for a long time. It's like the athletes, come out and you give them all this money, but the people who teach them and train them get crap. And so it's the teachers are frontline, and they didn't just become frontline. They've been frontline. But it's just that, you know, back when we were coming up, teachers had they had control over their students in their classrooms and stuff, where the teachers now, we talked about that last week, the ones now do not. And so it's just dangerous for them. Some of the schools, their school districts here in Texas that have given them permission, teachers, they have passed a law that the teachers can bring guns to school. And that's unsafe, because some of the teachers that they hire, and I can say this honestly because I know some of the teachers definitely don't need no gun. I mean, seriously. I know the kids.
No, they don't. Don't need
no
they don't.
For, yep.
They don't. You know, they really don't. Because, like I said, that's what I was saying earlier. Like I said, I grew up with guns, and you learn how to hold a gun and handle a gun. But over the years, I've had experiences with guns, with close calls with guns, too.
Right.
So you have a person that's late in the age, and grew up with a gun in their hand. And I don't care how much gun training you have. I don't care because let me tell you why. The older you get, your equilibrium, your timing gets a little bit off, right? You can fall, you can stumble, just little things. Your focus is different. It's like this, like playing a golf. It's easy to teach a younger kid, a young person, very, very young, that even before they're teens, a young kid playing golf, because they absorb their information so fast. When an adult, it's almost like you have to take You have to say, I would say, not just, I do Tai Chi sometimes, so I would say just your focus as an adult, you see everything. It's almost like a rookie in the NFL. You go out there, you're looking at everything in the football, the first season. You see everything that's moving, where as time goes, you focus on what you have to do, you don't see nobody. So that's what happens. You get older, so your time get off, so it's dangerous. It is standard to say this, it's very, very dangerous when an adult has a gun, haven't used one before, because they're because the moment they not paying attention, the gun can go off. They can pull it and shoot before even trying to get off and be pointed at somebody else. Don't even know it's pointed at somebody else. It's just, it's all, they don't know how to tuck it, put it in. I mean, it's bad, but it's just sad to say this is what it's come to. This is what it's come to, because there having to be many police officers in a sense, right? They have to be security guards now. Instead of sitting there, instead of being there, they can focus on doing what they were trained and their goals are to do to teach these students now. And you don't go to the definition of a teacher. It says a person who teaches, especially in school. And I say for a teacher retirement, say the action of a fact of leaving one's job and ceasing to work. But I totally agree, especially with all the things that actually you say the duties, the daily duties of a teacher. You have that the design of curriculum, right? They create a classroom presentation. These are daily duties now. These are not weekly duties.
Right.
The grading students' work, assisting students who fall behind, developing testing skills, materials, assigning homework, evaluating students. Oh my gosh! I mean, literally, teachers today probably evaluating students the way these students are behaving.
Right.
I mean, a evaluating student would probably take, you can't evaluate a student on no daily duties. No, you can't. I mean, maybe a monthly duty, maybe a yearly duty, but then preparing grade cards, meeting with parents. Oh. So all this,
then you got to go home and still you still got to do grades. And if you have a student and you didn't get the opportunity to speak to the parent while you were at the school, now you're having to call them when you get home. You don't really have a life other than that. And that's why so many now, people don't have that desire anymore to be a teacher. One, because of all the dangers that they have to face now, but two, because they're not even getting paid to face these dangers, and three, you don't really have a life. You really don't. Unless you and your husband, or you and your significant other are both educators and live in the same home together, you barely get to see each other. I don't know, maybe at one point it was enjoyable, but I know I stopped being enjoyable. I didn't have that desire anymore, and a lot of the teachers do not have desire. I mean, I literally have friends of mine that was shocked that I was in the high school system for as long as I was. I mean, I told them that because I realized that, and I had the opportunity to experience elementary and junior high. The high school students were there because they wanted to be there. Their parents weren't making them get up and get dressed and get to school. Those kids wanted to be there. If they didn't, they would drop out either in junior high or maybe in the ninth grade. Most of them wanted to be there. So I'm in the arts program. So kids who are artsy are different a little bit. We have a little bit more freedom because they come to the class because it's fun. You know, they want to come in and learn acting and singing and dancing and television production and cameras and all that. They want to do that because they see that as a life after school, and they see all the money now that these people make, and they're like, yeah, I want to make that money too. So it's enjoyable for them. But,
yeah. Right. As some of you said it, I totally agree with you because a lot of people don't even know, a lot of students may not even know, they don't now, but that you have these colleges for art, dance schools that is used in the world, and they make a lot of money. You know, that's where they have people, places like New York, I remember when you and I were at the school at Granville, we had a what was the dance? It was Abbott and Haley that they had, like, so many semesters of dance. I felt kind of awkward in that dancing, but I guess I used it as my stretching for football. But for the for everyone else, yeah, it was. I wasn't. I like to break dance back in the day, so the dance right there was a little bit different, but it helped me put my flexibility, shit like that. But no, you're totally right. But these are the things that, and we're going to get to understanding for your listeners that these are the things that we're going to be talking about for the next hour, that this is what teachers have to put up with, and then on top of that, no bonus for retirement. And I'm going to give you that one area. Actually, it's a county that's actually like a private setup that actually paying the teachers. But we'll talk about that. But you're totally right. You're totally right. And said you just had enough of it. But you know what? Too, this I'm gonna say this too. When you're in high school, you said you're high school, and you said, you know what, I'm just not cut off for this. I'm done with it. I cannot deal with even two. You know, there are some passive teachers, right? There are some passive teachers that was at school. They were just there. They were not doing their job. And we mentioned this last show that if they're not doing their job, there'd be an evaluation period for these teachers to get these bonuses and the higher pay. It needs to be evaluation every month. Every month, evaluate them. If they off course, and they've been lackadaisical and slow, they got to go. You've been slow and late, you got to go. Let them go somewhere else, be slow
they
and late.
They get evaluated, but they can't just – they can't just – see, because there is a lack of people that, like I said, that are coming into the system to be teachers, and then they make it so financially difficult for the teachers. It's like you've gone to school 12 years, then you go to school four more years, and then you do student teaching. You got four to five more years after 12 years. Then you got to now you got to pay to take a test. You got to pay this money to take these 3-part tests. And if you don't score high enough, like case in point, I'm taking my test at LA Unified School District, right? And I know I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I can't do anything else, I can write. So the one place that they gave me a low score was my writing. Now, all I needed was 40 points. That was it. 40 is the maximum. Why this person give me a 39? Now, I got to go back 6 months later. Now, this test is not going to be given again for 6 months. In the meantime, I have to either be a teacher's assistant, because in California, you can't be a substitute and not certified. In Texas and Louisiana, the southern states, you can be a long-term sub, or you can be a substitute, and you don't have to have the certification. In California, you have to have the certification. So I'm trying to get my certification right, because I'm a long-term teacher, but I need that more money, because that certification gives you more money. But now I got to go back to take the test. Well, they're going to give you the English, the math, and the understanding of words. And then you get to the writing part. That's the last part. I got to pay for the full test. Now I got to sit in there the entire time while these other three tests are in process before they get to the one that you gave me a 39. So where did you count me off for 1 point? But that was from having to come back. So who wants to do that? Now, I haven't been to school all these years. Now you're going to make me take a test, and you're going to low score me 1 point to make me come back. I thought if I had missed anything, it would have been in my math, because I don't think I'm as smart as I am, but I guess I'm smarter than I thought I was. But I'm saying you got to be kidding me. So I just said, forget it. I told my principal, I said, no, I'm not going back and doing it again, because I did it twice. And both times, they did the same thing when it came to my writing. I got 1 point. That was to keep me coming back and keep me out of that $125,000 a year, because, remember, I told you, L.A. Unified School District teachers, they come in, the certified ones, they come in over $100,000 a year. They do. But if you're not certified, I think my pay was like, I came in at $65,000 a year. something like that, which is still more than Texas, Louisiana, way more than Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas, Mississippi, those places. But and then they want to say it's because of the cost of living, which is a bunch of crap. And I thank God I've lived all three places, because the light, the utility bills, light bill, gas bill, water bill, all that stuff. California, my light bill came, my gas bill came every other month. It never went over $10. My light bill came once a month. It never went over $20. You see what I'm saying? So you, they tell you that the cost of living is different, but it's not, because the utilities here, I mean, literally some people's utilities is more than a car. Now, you're paying $600 and $700 a month for your light bill. That's not even counting your gas and your garbage and all these other things. And I'm saying, yeah, okay, you guys believe that the cost of living in the southern states are less than in California. It balances out, and there's a lot of things in California, but you can pay way more money. It compensates you. So it's just a bunch of crap. And so the teachers, you know, when I came here, I was like, when I came back to Texas, it was a huge drop. Even as a substitute teacher, you know, sub and long term until I get the certification. Now they're telling me, well, you got to take Texas history, and you got to take this, and you got to take that. So I got to take these three classes. I got to take these three classes. Then I got to teach all day long, and then I got to go and do grades. I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm good. I went and applied for a job, got hired at Delta Airlines, and I just I was good with it. That worked for me. So, you know, teachers are like, we need money just like anybody else. We have bills just like everybody else. So they're not getting it.
So we have Scott Anderson on the line. Scott Anderson, Detroit Lions, smoothest, finest, 88, Detroit Lions, Scott Anderson.
Hey, Scotty. Mr. Speedy Gonzalez.
Come on, girl. I'm listening. I'll be here. I'm going to let y'all talk. I'm leaving.
Go ahead.
But one thing I want to say about what you was talking about, the guns, I remember when, oh, my God, I think I must have been about 8 or 9 years old. Dad would put us up this tree. Grandpa would put us up this tree so we could learn how to shoot the rifle. They didn't teach us how to teach to handle the small gun first. You had to learn how to shoot the rifle first, right? So I remember getting up the tree. I'm up the tree, right? It's my turn. And so Grandpa already said, okay, don't put it right onto your shoulder, because when you pull the trigger, it's going to kick you backwards. And so he gave me all these instructions. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do it my way anyway. Trust me. I was backwards. I fell backwards when I pulled the trigger. But they taught us how to shoot a gun as soon as we were strong enough to hold it. But you had to learn with the big gun first, not the small gun.
That's right.
But I could shoot.
Small gun.
I could shoot. I took my grandsons to a shooting range, and they have those games where you can shoot, and it's like, dang, Granny, you hitting everything. I said, boy, I'm not a shooter. I better recognize.
Yeah. It's something else. We got to talk about the gun, but Scotty, I know Scotty used to, after and he was in high school, he would head to the woods hunting. He don't talk about it too much, but he would be out there to go. You know, he'd be out there to park, but he would go out there for sure. But got to ask you a question. Yours is my younger brother, Scott Anderson. Like I said, you guys, I've seen him on some of the posts. I post him on, but Scott's going to be involved in a lot of things. A lot of positive things moving forward. You guys see him doing a lot of stuff for giving back around the world and the community. But Scotty, I'm asking a question. When teachers retire, do you believe they should receive a huge bonus when they retire? And we also too were saying that teachers that actually pass a lot of qualifications, not some of a small percentage of bad teachers, but teachers that actually deserve it. Do you feel like they should receive a huge bonus? I think I hear some noise in the background. I don't know. Okay. What do you think about that?
They did good. It depends on what you did, you know. But I do believe they do, because they work harder than the average person. We don't give them enough credit. You know, the good ones, you know. But, yeah, after you retire, you need to be able to look back, because you help a lot of kids by the end, you know, they'll be grown. But yeah, I think they should.
And what you're saying, we all agree with it, because you think about it, said a teacher entering a teacher before age 25 with a bachelor's and let me see, the 30 or more years services can usually retire sometime between the age 55 and 60. When you think about right now, if they start at 25 years of age, and they can usually retire around 55 or 60, depending, right? Depending on, I guess, the benefits, whatever. But to deal with these students today, and then they retire, and most of the teachers, you know, in some states, they don't really, the retirement is so small, they don't get in, they don't receive a bonus for that.
That's right.
Huge bonus. So you think about what's going on today with all the undisciplined students today. And I said this too, you know, when they took out, you know, the paddling for the younger students, is giving a little bit of direction, or just have like one paddle just for embarrassment, right? You don't have to go in and trying to abuse no kid. But I'm just saying, it's just the whole thing. If someone's getting a paddling in front of everybody, it's embarrassment. Or they knew they're going to get, they know they're getting a paddling, especially young kid, they're going to straighten up because they don't want to be embarrassed like that. I don't want no talent. Like, no, no, I'm going to do right. But
right.
I think a lot of people miss the point there. But then, too, Scott, I totally agree with you, because that's a long time having to deal with a lot of chaos that these teachers are going through, and especially with all the gun violence. Students down here in Florida, you had a student last 2 weeks ago, 6 years old, brought a gun to school and then shot the teacher. I believe that teacher's still in critical condition. So that happened here in South Florida, 6 years old. So I totally agree with that. I totally agree. I think that when we grew up, and I think with the discipline part of it, this is my opinion. I'm going to say I feel like this is a fact. Scott, you can count, even when you growing up, Scotty, your students, your friends, that was actually being totally disrespectful to the teachers, even at, when you was growing up. We didn't do that, because if we did, we'll tell one of the, we wouldn't even have any involvement with that student. Nobody would have to be a friend of that student. And we would, and when I was growing up, Scotty, when I grew up and when Ms. Gibson grew up, it was student was teaching, actually behaving to another teacher badly, especially a female, we might take it our own hands. That's how it was. We grew up. Am I right, Ms. Gilson?
Yeah. But see, the other thing, too, is when we grew up, we had two parents. That was a father and
right.
a mother. And in many cases, the grandparents, you know, like you hear me talk about grandpa a lot and stuff, the grandparents are there. These kids, most of them don't have a father. Most of them, they do, but I'm saying the father is not in the home with the kids and stuff. And so
right.
they don't have that same upbringing, and the mothers are trying to work, you know, trying to do what they can do. Like I've had neighbors who, a single mother, and she got three or four kids, and they all got different dads, and you know, it may be one or two other dads involved, come by pick their kid up, and so on and so forth, and that type of thing. But you know, the kids. So my son had a lot of friends because he was the only child. But and I tutored. So after school, I would just tell the parents, you know what, let them come on so I can help them with their homework and stuff like that. And I did that for years and stuff. But think about how many don't get that. They
mm-hmm.
don't. So they don't have no discipline. And a lot of them are raising themselves. And mamas are having babies. And as the older kids get older, they become the babysitters, and so they're the ones that they're raising their younger sisters and brothers. I have a neighbor like that right now.
Right, and when I say I go for the honors, yes, like I said, when I go for your honors, I said that's where we grew up. We had discipline, and we made sure that that student is not going to disrespect that teacher. Now, that teacher out of hand, you know, people are like, okay. But, you know, that was very, very, it was rad, but that was, you can count the ones that was teachers that was just, totally just bad. We grew up, that discipline rubbed off to us. We're being proactive in the community. And because we got paddles, when we got out of control, we got spankings, we got whippings, you know, and we don't go to school and go shoot no student. We don't go to and be disrespectful to no teachers. And then if you did, like I said again, you did, we found out a boy was doing that, we're going to have him on the playground. We're going to have him on the football field. Like, no, you're not going to be doing being disrespectful, man. So that's how it was. But everything was
junior high. I got a paddle. You used to get paddled in front of the teachers in junior high. They bring you and paddle you. They had the paddles. You can't do that now.
Mm-mm. Right, right. Mm-mm. They got the law
set
up against
the teachers.
I told
you, y'all mom used to, we used to get in trouble. Miss Anderson used to, y'all mama did not play trust me. She and Miss Barnes and Miss Hendricks, they didn't play.
Mama just
and everybody
look,
knew
just,
it.
Look at mama could just look at you. You see her telling you.
Right.
You knew and better.
And Scott, don't you remember about this, Scott? You weren't born yet. Don't laugh about this one, though. I came one time, I'm going to call myself, I'm going to get out the house. I said it's in one of the topics a while back. I said, I'm going to call myself. She wanted me to comb my hair. So, guys, so you know, I have no hair in my head at all right now, right? But let me tell you this. So back when I had hair, when I was in elementary, my hair was red. Like it was red. Scott, tell him, right? My hair was red.
Yeah,
so,
they scared me down. He had the red hair. He couldn't even comb it so thick. They had to put the, remember them Dukes and the Jerry curls they put on your throat?
So,
he had a full pro. It was red. Man, see, I'm talking about it was real country, and they S-curved Duke him down. Remember them Dukes?
Look at me. Look, you ain't lying. Look, hey, so I call myself.
My mama used to have me crying, scratching my head, man. My mama used to scratch about an hour before she even duped some too.
Yeah, but they call it braiding. Now we used to call it plaiting, right? And whooping the head, man. Oh my gosh. So, but let me say this: I still feel the pain right now today. You know. So I called myself going to go to school, and I said, she told me, make sure you comb your hair. I said, okay, all right, I'm gonna comb my hair. All right, you all right, mama? You know, I think I was probably about 10 years old. So I really truly forgot to comb my hair.
Oh, you
boy,
forgot.
The bus pulled up. I forgot. So, you know, my hair was tough. My hair was tough, man. I mean, you couldn't push a truck through my hair, right? It was just so tough, right? So, and it was just sitting up there, and I got the bus, and I'm like, God dang it. You know, I said to myself, and I'm young, right? I'm saying to myself, it's mama. And, man, mama, before I got the bus, I got to put him right there in front of everybody. And then she got the hot comb. I'm trying to figure out where she get this hot comb from. You know, like, got it broken. Then it got the hot comb. So this is this is my daily duty, getting a spanking, right? So daily duties back in the day, these teachers didn't play. They need to put that in on the internet. That was a daily duty. They didn't play back in the day.
Other people could whoop you back in the day.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right.
It's about discipline, man. It's about discipline. That's what's going on right now. Like I told you, y'all, look, I'm not the president because we have some discipline going on around this country. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
We can fix it. Oh, it's easy to fix.
I told the principal had a pedal at East Side. He had a pedal and his board had holes in it. Well, he had drill holes in it and stuff. And he said, now if y'all can run faster than me, you won't get this pedal. Well, he could run.
And
unfortunately for me, he was related to me. But man. We would lose every time. We thought we were going to beat him. I mean, Mr. Adams was so fast, and you would get hit, and you would, oh, man, that would hurt so bad. I'm like, I ain't trying to be in trouble no more. And then you get home and get a whooping. So my mama didn't play.
That's true. Let me say this. I'm going to bring the next host in right here. But it's a pension payout in teachers who retires with a full pension, worked for 32 years, and earned a best 5 years average salary, say $60,000, would have a basic pension of $30,000, right? So a teacher earning $90,000 a year but 32 years of services would have an annual pension of about 57,000. And I'm gonna say this: the average retirement age for a teacher is around 59 years old. Thanks for calling the Students Radio Show. Who's calling?
Randy Hines.
Randy Hines. Yeah, Randy Hines.
What's going on, Hines?
How you guys doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
It ain't one hand now.
So Randy, let me ask you a question. We have Scotty Anderson on the line, and we have Miss Deborah Gibson Westbrook on the call also. Let me ask you a question. When teachers retire, do you believe they should receive a huge bonus when they retire?
I think teachers most deservingly deserve a big bonus. With the bonus, service paycheck. Yes, I think they do. And my reason being is because it, you know, depends on how long you taught. Most teachers start, you know, teaching maybe 24 years old, somewhere in there, 25 years old when they start teaching, and some don't stop teaching, you know, until I say the average maybe 62. You know,
right. You're right.
That's me taking a big guess because, you know, all my teachers when I was in school, when I finished high school, they were all they were elderly. They was well in their late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I think they deserve a big check because you're talking about you've been teaching kids who've had probably ADHD problems. The kids we consider bad all along. They had a disability, you know, and you know kids who.
Let me stop you right there for a second. Because I want you to hang on to that, what you just said. This is very, very important.
Yeah.
I never forget my mom, and I don't know why I still think about this, and I you know, I'm going to just say this. I'm not saying anything bad about any kids. She said when the merge of a lot of kids, when they had different disabilities, ADHD or special needs in a sense, right? She said that's going to change the teaching skills for teachers, meaning that's going to be difficult, very difficult to give the one-on-one teaching, I mean, like the faster teaching for the other students. Because in actuality, it really is. Because the fact is, how can you teach your kid other kids to follow, let's go, and then you have to sit back and you have to wait on the other kids, and then have to go get their test scores, have to test, and have to make sure the kids pass. So, you know, back in the day, they had classes for certain kids and things like that, and now that's all of a sudden, now that's a bad look, you know, and whatever they say. But I just wanted to say that. So that also, too, Rand, I just wanted to say what you said. That was way back in the gap when I heard my mom. I was a little boy when she said that, and I still remember that today. And that's so true today, but the teachers are having to put up with it and do the best they can to teach and try to – it's almost like this, Hans. If I go out to anybody around the world, I said, okay, I want you guys to get on your knees, right, and I'm going to get these marbles out. All right, and I'm gonna have five red marbles in this bunch, but I got 20 marbles, and I'm gonna drop them from 2 feet above you. And I want you to see if you catch them within like 5 seconds. These red marbles, you're not gonna catch all of them. So you having to bring all these marbles together and catch these ones red and try to put them together with the other. That's what the teacher's dealing with. They juggling marbles, they juggling everything you can think of to try to get these kids to learn. And they're doing it. and they still being left behind. I want to say that. Go ahead, Hans. Ms. Gibson, Scotty?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Hans.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that some of the school districts do separate the kids because they have the program. Some of them will call them special needs classes, or they'll call them special education classes. It's a special class, so they will eventually, but they won't know that child is a special needs kid until they've pretty much held up a class the year before. But that next year with that kid coming back, then they'll know, and they have to put them in that class. But with all that happening, they still got to meet with the parents. They got to meet with the parent of the parents, and hopefully it's a parent that understand that I don't know how they have to put it, but special needs and special education, they're slow. I'm sorry. The parent may not want to hear that, but that child is slower than you have the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders, but you have sixth graders, and this special needs child may be a third grade mentality, you know what I'm saying? And so they have to put them in those classes. Now, DISD, I know for a fact that the Dallas Independent School, they'll do that. However, if they do not have the teachers to cover those classes, now you have the substitute teachers that's covering those classes. And these kids are so badly behaved. They're like, we're not even a real teacher. I'm saying, call me not a real teacher one more time. Because they don't, because they have been categorized as not a real teacher. A substitute teacher is a real teacher. They just don't have the same certification as the full-time teacher. So, but the kids are just, so you may have a class, half of your kids can keep up, and half of your kids may be specially educated kids until they can get the teachers at that particular school to cover that class of special needs students.
Yeah, and that's something we can merge into with some of the topic. I think that's a good topic to talk about. But I would just say that you got to give thanks to, again, to the teachers that's able to even get the kids that maybe a little slower in the following year, all of a sudden they rocking and rolling. These are the things that teachers are dealing with on a daily basis. They haven't, but then they're going to get tested now. They're going to get tested to make sure their kids, they will get paid according to their classroom, how their classroom perform. But you have a kid. All right, so Scotty and Randy, I'm going to give you all receivers. I'm going to get you the lineman that's running. I'm going to give you receivers that's running actually a five second 40 time. I'm going to put them in the slot, and I'm going to put them on the outside. But you're going to have cornerbacks that's covering that's running 4.3s. But you want them to get open. So I'm going to have to – no, but I'm saying that, but the teachers have to – deal with that, and then they got to go maneuver. It's like, okay, I'm gonna move this receiver over. I'm gonna stack the receivers one behind it. I'm gonna move it over here to the other side. I'm gonna put two receivers on one side and put one over here by themselves, and pull this receiver to actually almost do like a certain snag route, so I can get them open. So they learn how to maneuver with students that's with a 4.2 grade point average to a student that has a 1.2 point average. And they learn how to innate to make that happen for that student at 1.2, they have a 4.2 the next year. This is all what teachers are dealing with today. Now, why are they trying to do this? But how can they do this and all of a sudden you got a student coming in next week? I'm not going to say that because I don't want that to happen. Oh, came in before, that's causing problems in the school, you know, with the teachers. And then the parents are accepting it. Like you said, Ms. Gibson, a while ago, and Scott has said it. If you are out of trouble, out of hand, you got discipline at the school, and then you're going to get discipline when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have that. Let me say it again for you guys, for your listening, for your audience. What do you believe or not? In the book, they got it right about discipline. It's in the book. They got it right. We all of a sudden now want to change laws, not ever said now. Fifth place is third place. So you get a medal too because you're in fifth place. No, 10th place, I get a medal, but it's supposed to be first, second, and third. It's a reason why they call it number, everything's in threes, too. That's another topic also.
They give everybody medals.
Yeah, they give everybody medals now. You know, so, no, my student's not. Think about going with the school, and we had a problem with a teacher, and the teacher said we was acting up. So you got, before you got in, you got to spank. If not, you're going to sit there, and you're going to sit there and do your work until you get up that school, and you're going to apologize to get to that teacher.
Hey, and then watch this. I know, I don't want to go too far off topic, but that's the same thing that they do with HBCUs and the PWIs. What they do. The PWIs got all the resources, which put HBCU behind where we can't keep up with the PWI when it comes to playing sports. They're dumb, you know, they beat us because they got the resource. And then when the HBCU kids make it to the pro level, we make it to the resource. That's why you see us keeping up with them. The same thing with you just use your analogy. You know, you put kids over here, and now the kid that might have a low GPA, you put him in that class, you know, with the kids with the 4.2s, that kid can make that adjustment. You know, it might take some time, but the minute he make that adjustment, you know, man, he, you know, his 1.2 might turn into a 2.5. He's slow, because you got to remember, that kid with that 4.2 grade average, he can't get no higher. But that kid with that 1.2 can catch up.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you a question.
Well,
then.
A 4.2 can get higher because my nephew is at Ruston High School and he's on his way to UCLA.
Well,
his grade point average is a 4.3 grade point average. He's on the football team.
That kid got more room to catch up than that kid. Let's just say, because you got to remember, it used to stop at 4.0. Everything goes up because of the enrollment.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, everything
exactly.
goes up because – so if Roman stayed where it was, then you don't go to a 4.3. It stays at a 4.0
right.
or – because down here, you know, it's close to K, it's 6.0. It's 6.0. It ain't a 4.0 no more, you know.
So let me ask you a question.
But it's the same thing, the equivalent to the 4.0, though. Go ahead.
So let me ask you a question. It still goes back – this is my thing, and like I said, that's a great analogy in the sense you brought up with this university. And this is not off topic. We're just talking about – the parenting, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I have to give thanks for my neighbors and not just my parents. Because if my parents weren't doing right, they have to look at my neighbors the next morning that was getting it right.
Yeah.
So I had a superintendent that was next door, Mr. Zeno. Ms. Zeno, she finished at Graham. So she had a master's plus 30. Then Ms. Foster had her degree over in, that went to Grambling, and then Mr. Foster was a Mason. You know, brick. You know, that's what he does. I mean, with Mason with the bricklaying and stuff. You know, that was his own business. So then the next after that the next down there you had behind you had the Spences, then you had the Perrys, you had the Williams, everybody wrapped around us. That you had to get it right. And if it was a parent, you didn't get it right. You had to look at these other parents that was getting it right. And if that was, if you was off course as a parent back in the day, if you was off course and the parents back in the day, they would get with the wives, girlfriends, they would get together and said, Miss Katie, let's go have a coffee. But he used to tab drink back in the day with tabs and coffee. Let's go have some coffee. All right. That means that when them cars at the house, and you see them those ladies going in the house, that means you get the HEL out the house. You can't be in that house right now because you might hear some fussing going on and some other thing else. But guess what? And I get chills talking about this, guys. When they leave there. And at that house, okay, now we see you tomorrow. Okay, wherever they got it out. When they left that house, it was right, and everything was right back on track. You hear me? And that's the problem with some of these, with these parents today, and that go for the men and the women. A lot of people are okay being in last place. A lot of people okay.
Man, I talked about this today.
See, that's the problem.
They okay with where they at.
Right. And see, that's the thing is that
it ain't nothing wrong with that because that's where they want to be at.
But the thing is, all you can do is give them advice, say what you say, and go on because everybody's here for
that's
a reason to move people forward in life, right? So, and if you try to move people back in life, you're going to get punished for that down the road, just letting you know. But let me say this.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
That's the difference in the parenting for the, and that goes, that went to the youth, the kids. Because I'm telling you, like I say again, if my community was growing up, the boys and my brother and them, my older brothers and my older brother and his friends, they would, it was always a neighborhood watch. The cops didn't have to do nothing. They could work because there was no problem. It was a problem. It was a major problem. But the discipline, the parents made sure that their kids going to be doing everything they're supposed to do right when they go to school. And the team,
mm-hmm.
and you listen, again, the neighbors made sure you were right. So everybody's watching over each other. Today, you know, this is the reason for that. Now, after 2 years, this right here, at least 300 students, 300,000 public school teachers and other staff left the field between February 2020 and May 2022. Left the field. 300,000 public school teachers, and I said that the other day, I have to keep saying that, just left, just quit. And this is another thing, too. You can't – 55% of educators are thinking about leaving the profession. This is today's news. 55% of professionals are thinking about leaving the professional earlier than had planned, according to the National Education Association, the NEA, survey of its members released on Tuesday. Like, they're not even trying to get the retirement now. They want to get the retirement. It's like with pay, with a bonus, or hopefully someone give them a bonus. It's so chaotic. But now you want to forget about the teachers. Your teacher's name, guess what you do? You turn and go back to what you're doing. That's on them. We all have a duty in this.
So remember, I told you, teachers don't strike enough. That's the biggest problem with the teachers across the country. They don't strike enough. And the reason why the teachers didn't strike because it was always that I don't want to disappoint. I got these kids that look at me every day, and I want to be there for the kids because your heart is in it. But the teachers now, the ones, it's a whole new generation of teachers that's coming out of college now. And so they're like, you know what, I'm not going to be bothered with this because I can go and get a job at Walmart. They'll go get a job at Walmart, really, seriously, or wherever, than to be bothered with that. The pandemic also, I read an article, one person said, a pandemic made the teachers lazy.
Plandemic.
The pandemic
Plandemic.
Didn't make the teachers. The 2019 shut the schools down. Remember when the schools got shut down? So 2019 to 2020. But what happened was the teachers realized I needed this break. And so while they were at home, even though when they reopened the schools, they still had to stay at home. So while they were at home, they realized, I don't have to go into these classrooms with these knuckleheads anymore. So a lot of those teachers, especially the teachers that was up in age, they didn't go back to the building. I didn't. And a lot of them didn't. And they still do tutoring or teaching from home, and they can do that. But they realized, oh, my God. So they lost a lot of the teachers whose hearts was really more in it than the fact that, you know, the money wasn't there. So this the generation that's 25 and 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, they'll stay a year maybe, and they're like, I'm not going to be bothered with this kid coming to school with guns, and now I got to be looking over my shoulder all the time. I get to my car, my tires are slashed, and my windows are busted, and all kind of craziness. So that's why they lost so many, and they're going to continue to lose them.
Well, we have another caller in right now. We have this on the Steven Smith Radio Show. Who's calling?
Jeremy Hammack.
Jeremy Hammock. Now, Jeremy Hammock, could you explain who you are? Because I don't know this. I don't know this name. I don't know who this is.
There you go.
Man, you know,
you're
the cousin, man. Jonesboro, Louisiana.
Yep. I know it. I know it. There's only one Jeremy.
Exactly.
There's only one.
I'm on
the front line. I'm on the front lines, man. I'm teaching, man.
You teaching right now? I love it. But you always been a teacher. You always been a teacher. Guys, let me tell you before Jeremy go back. So Jeremy was actually the last of that generation that had that discipline. He was the babe of the generation in the family on that hammock side. So we have a huge family that's kind of like all over the place, right? But he was the last of that on my mama's side. So Jeremy he came in that relationship on my mom's side. Mom Simpson, you got the hammocks and whatnot. So over in that area. But actually, there's a picture with my younger brother holding Jeremy. That's how for
man, I was just gonna say that I'm holding Jeremy at the Bayou Classic. Anthony had the curl. Remember the Anthony with Billy D. Williams? See what I'm saying? Billy D. had the coat for Five Mercy. Y'all forgot about that. That was so bad. I was holding Jeremy. My little sister with the white, you know, the white at the bottom. The most pictures come out soon. You think we holding Jeremy? That had been 83. We had a picture right now. We're going to find it and put it on. I was Anthony sitting in the bed, and I'm holding Jeremy. That's how throwback. We go.
Yeah. What you call it? The Polaroid picture. You take the picture, and then you expand it a little bit, then
yeah,
it come out.
Then you got to flag it out. Yeah, you got to flag it out. See, they forgot about all that.
So what's your thoughts on the teachers?
Well, first, let me give some context on who I am. These two guys on the line, Steve and Scotty, if it wasn't for them two and their brother, I probably wouldn't be where I am right now. I mean, it was up to me to figure it out, you know, to watch and to learn. And I did a lot of that. And I learned how to listen. I learned how to be coachable. I learned how to be taught from them because I saw them. And I wanted to be like them. So what I did, I shut up and I listened. And I look and I emulate it and I copy it. And I just want to say, if I ain't never told y'all thank you, I'm going to tell y'all thank you right now.
Ah, wonderful.
All right? But
that's awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you for listening, though. Thank you for paying attention. Because you could have not paid attention.
Y'all don't know, he used to, we used to have a ladder in the back of the house, and at nighttime, Mama, Daddy, Steven built a little shed, got the light back. So Jeremy get on the ladder and drop bricks to me, and Mama stand up, you know, Mama being that wonder, but he was there the whole time.
Yep. I'll never forget Scott.
It could have played in the league, yeah. But that's beautiful. That's beautiful, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's one more thing. I don't know if Scott ever remember this, but and I used to always throw at Scott all the time. So one day he made me mad for something. We were at the field throwing. I was throwing to him, and he ran a post, and I threw it probably a click earlier than I should have thrown it, and it hit him smack in the face, and he was so mad at me that day. I know he wanted to punch me in my face so bad. Scott, you remember that, Scotty?
Yeah, me and him go every day. We going every day.
Every day. So my work ethic, you know, who I am, it comes from these two guys. I mean, that's where it comes from. But, Steve, like I said, man, I'm on the front lines, man, right now. I've been teaching 3 years in the high school setting. You know,
that's three years.
So
what high school? You want to give your high school name? You want to give your high school name or you don't?
I'm at Marshall High School. It's in East Texas. I ain't got nothing to hide.
Okay, Marshall High School, East Texas. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Marshall High School in East Texas.
Hey, Jeremy, you're not coaching at Monroe no more.
No, I'm not coaching college ball right now. I'm not. So,
okay, then that's cool. That's good.
That's a story for another day. But as far as the kids these days, man, like I said, after spending 15 years in the college and then going down to high school. I mean, it starts at home. I mean, we have over 150 kids in our program And the majority of the African American kids, and sometimes, you know, the white kids, they don't have one parent at home.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring that up is because a lot of times they don't get any type of, you know, hard coaching, hard love until they come to school. You know, and I heard somebody say something about the pandemic. You know, that had that generation of kids, like the last probably four classes of kids coming through, they all were affected immensely by it. And it set them back.
Mm-hmm.
All those kids are a year back emotionally, educationally, mm-hmm. and physically. They're all behind. You know, I mean, it's just like going into your senior year, you know, playing football or whatever. Instead of playing three previous years, you play two previous years. You know, that's kind of what I can come up with. But I mean, it's just a shame that how many kids have to come to school to get, you know, that type of love that they need. You know, especially young men.
Mm.
Especially young men, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tough time for teachers, and it's a tough time for students. It is. It still is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But let me ask you a question.
It is. Tough time.
Being that combination, like you say, when they get to school, like I think Scott and Brandon mentioned on this too, I think 2 weeks ago, about a lot of the pandemic put a lot of people, especially in those areas where we grew up at certain areas, like you're not in the center, I don't care if you're in the city, a lot of people may not have financially to, and the kids, that's their way of eating, getting to school, right? They can't wait to get to school so they can
mm-hmm.
eat a decent meal. It's a lot of mm-hmm. little sad stories out there that people don't really bring up and talk about, that what kids and parents are going through at home. But I would say this. Being that all this is going on, Jeremy, Mr. Hammock, being that all this is going on, what do you think about what's going on with the teachers having to absorb this from the students and having to be that parent, having to be wear all these hats? What's your thoughts on this? If the teachers deserve, I'm saying, doing test scores, not test scores, but they voted that this teacher is doing her job or his job, as a retired teacher, do you believe they should receive a huge bonus after retirement?
Well, I think they should be getting paid well while they're teaching. You know, I don't think it's a, but it's tough, man. I mean, these kids these days, man, they're tough to deal with, man. You know, and you know, kids are naturally want to be taught, want to be reared, they want to be educated. Naturally, they do, you know. But a lot of times, you know, you can't get to that until you peel back, you know, what they're, you know, fighting at home or fighting wherever. You know, you got to get past all that stuff if you want to reach those kids. But I think teachers should be getting paid as well as coaches. I mean, coaches are getting paid now because they're coaching football. But teachers should be getting paid also. You know? Yeah, teachers, I mean, Texas is kind of known for paying its teachers, you know. But I think all over the country, man, you know, I think it's very, very important that teachers are being compensated, you know, the correct way. You know, because it takes a lot for a guy to put for a lady to get up every single morning and go deal with some knuckleheads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in high school when I deal with them all the time. Kids that play football and kids that don't play football. You know, but you can always tell when you talk to a kid enough, you can always tell. You know, when they get to school, something's either happened at home, it happened on the way to school, it happened last night, it had nothing to do with you.
Right.
But as a teacher, we're supposed to be able to be understanding and be able to welcome that kid and love on that kid regardless of what's going on. And that takes a special person, man, to do that day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
Day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Scotty, go ahead, Scotty.
Normally, Jeremy right about it, have, because they deal with kids more than I do. You know, I need to go do some coaching stuff, but that's a lot of reason I don't. you know, because I deal with a lot of kids outside of that. And most of the kids, 90% of them, even over here, especially over here in Shreveport, shit, man, these kids don't have no parents. They didn't eat.
No,
none of that. It's the fives at school, the ones I be around. So, I you know, the teachers, perhaps they've been dealing, him and Jeremy been dealing with kids the whole, I used to back in the day, but the kids, that's a lot, man, that's a lot. And then you want to barely get these. The teachers have a life, too, and the kids, right? So it's not just like I come to school to help kids. They have stuff they dealing with. So, you know, they can have the Jeremy can tell you, you know, and call us them on that.
And some of us are single parents. I mean, I'm a single mother. I was raising my son in South Central LA. So it was rough all the time. So I was pretty much a roughneck teacher, and I made it a point to be a roughneck teacher. And I wanted my kids to know I was a roughneck teacher. I mean, so when there was the if a teacher was having an issue with a kid, I got all the roughnecks. They would send me the roughnecks. I love the roughnecks. Because roughnecks like that roughneck, they want you to be staring with them. I'd be like, boy, didn't I tell you to sit down? Well, Ms. Z, don't Ms. Z to me. Sit down. You're supposed to be doing what everybody else is doing. So but you have to be that type of person. So I'm talking about South Central LA, and it's a scary place, and I still have to deal with my son and issues with because when I was at the high school at Crenshaw High School, he was in junior high school, but you know he ran track and he was in the band, so he had a lot of stuff to keep him busy, but he loved doing that. But I had other parents who I made friends with because they were single mothers raising their sons, and they were knuckleheads. So it was rough. So now you got you're teaching other people's kids, but you also got your own kid too. So
yeah.
You know, that's why I say you have to love doing it. And the generation now, they're like, man, forget this and stuff. And I don't blame them. I really don't. And the pay has to change. If you want
to
keep the teachers coming, the pay has to change. It has to. I was coaching and everything else. At Crenshaw, I had the dance team, varsity and junior varsity cheerleaders. I had all three squads. But that's just me. I could do that. But every teacher can't do that, nor do they want to do that. So it's rough.
You'd be surprised.
Brandon, you have any thoughts? Randy, you have any closing thoughts before I start slugging everybody off? Randy, you want anything else you want to say? Hines? Okay.
Are you there, Hines? Are you there?
Randy must be in Baltimore right now. At the Baltimore. Jeremiah, I would say this. I would say what you said. We mentioned something similar to what you just said earlier about the teachers, about they should be getting paid all the time. And Randy did mention that too, about the teachers should be getting paid all the time right now. And we came up with so many years after the 10th year that it should be that $100,000
yeah.
pay. You
yeah.
know, it should be that. And like, why not, right? And it should be that type of pay. But hold on one second. We have a caller here. Let me see if we get the last call in. Caller, thanks for calling the Students Radio Show. Who's calling?
Hey, my name is Mr. Bianchi. I tell you what, give me school choice with vouchers and whatever else they want to do with the government schools, they can do it. That fair enough?
You said give you school choice, you said?
School choice, full school choice with vouchers, where the money follows the child, parent put the child where they want, and whatever else they want to do with those government schools, do it.
That's a great okay. Thanks for saying your opinion.
What do you think about that,
Ms. Gibson? What do you think about that?
I think you're saying about the vouchers, the private schools. I want to make sure I got this right. You're saying the government that hands out the vouchers and
I say give the parents school choice with full vouchers, with full money.
Gotcha.
the same dollars that that child will receive if they sat there in that traditional chair. Give that to the parents. Let the parent put their child where they feel best for the long-term educational goal of their children. And then they'll do whatever they want. They're going to do it anyway.
Right.
I think it's a, I agree. I think it's a great idea. Great idea. Totally.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. That was a very, very valid point. Very valid point.
It was.
Yeah, very valid point. What do you think about that, Jeremy?
I mean, there's still going to be a section of kids or a group of kids that this is going to be a group of kids that are going to be, you know, left behind, so to speak. You know,
right,
because
right.
I mean, I don't care what you can give them vouchers, but I mean, Timmy and Antonio. I mean, I know they don't get money for the same school, but they ain't going to the same school. There's going to be a sect of kids that are all going to the same school, because if you give out vouchers, now you got to do, you know, with some private school have a lottery or a waiting list.
Right.
So you go down that rabbit hole of things where people can kind of get around, you know, sending their kids to, you know, a particular school because this group of people are going over here. And so there's going to be a group of kids that are going to be left behind, you know, and what happens when that happens, their quality of education doesn't match the other school's quality of education.
Right.
But can you get more oversight on that to kind of give it more of direction?
Yes, but it has to be more of a it can't be by independent school district. It can't be that way.
Right.
It has to be by the state or by the county or by, you know, it has to be something that has a lot more people to, you know, cover it, you know, because, you know, ISDs do whatever they want to do for the most part, you know, especially if you're a one-horse town, you know. You know, if you're a one-horse town like Jonesboro, you can do what you want, whereas if you're in Monroe, you got all these Monroe, you know, independent school districts, you got all these different schools, you know, now you have you got to make sure everybody's adhering to the same rules, you know. But it would have to be, for that to work to me, it would have to be some federal, you know, or government oversight for that.
Right. That's what I was saying, yeah. Yeah. That it'd be put in place, but you know what? Go ahead.
I don't believe in just giving people money and say, hey, put your kids where, okay. So that means all the schools got to cost the same? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, those are the questions.
And I don't know, do they give vouchers to the public schools? That's just the private schools, right? The vouchers, isn't that for private schools?
Yeah, I believe so. It's just private schools.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yes,
private schools. They don't give vouchers to public schools. Mm.
But I think, like you're saying, like I said, he made a valid point. I think if you can get some oversight into that section, and that's something that we could talk about. It's a good topic to talk about because that's something. I'm gonna write that down. We need to come back with that because the reason why I'm saying that, guys, we want to stay on. Our goal is to stay every January. We're going to move this movement for the teachers because the fact is, my mom's birthday is on the 31st. So, I mean, she's in heaven right now, but this is what we got to keep fighting for these teachers. But that's a great topic that we need to bring back. Jeremy, maybe if you're not too busy, hopefully you can join in. I'm going to bring that topic back next week, and hopefully that you can join in on the topic. Next week on that, because that's he called in. It's really, really interesting what he said. But at the end of the day, where's the oversight, and why haven't it been any oversight for that for the teaching system, right? The education system.
Right, and I'll do some research on that because I believe the teachers at the private schools get paid more than teachers at public schools, but I don't want to make that a factual. I'll do some research and I'll have it for the next show, but I believe the private school teachers get paid.
I think it's simultaneously. I don't think it's that much of a
I thought something they say it is, but I think at the end we'll look at, like you say, go and check it up. But we can talk about that too. But I think it's around the same. But I know one thing: whoever that ATM machine, y'all need to go in and give me about $2 on this side because y'all working. All right,
I
but
know.
Let me say this though too. Yeah, let me say this too. I would say this before we go. I would like to say give thanks to this area. It's actually in Chicago area, that Arlington area's District 128, Vernon Hills. So out of 400, I think it's what they've done, they're giving bonuses, like 30% of the actual the teacher decided to retire. They've actually given 30% of that is going to a bonus off their pay. So they get paid $20,000, 30% of that is going toward a bonus for the teachers. And that's something that's done independently, private, but that's Vernon Hill District, and that's in that Chicago Heights area. Hope I'm saying that right, but it's Chicago. And they said it is. They said the last year they've gone, given away 420, I think the last 3 years, 2 years, you know, 420,000 in bonuses in the last few years.
Wow.
To retired teachers. And I'm gonna look more into that again, but that's beautiful what they've done. I think that's a fantastic ordeal what they've done. So that's pretty amazing. But Jeremy, I can't thank you enough for calling in. And I want to be awesome if you can call in again at some point to like the next topic, okay? Again,
gotcha.
Thank you again. And I think you want to say before you get off right quick?
I just want to say thank you, man. I've been wanting to do it, man. And
mm-hmm.
I always see you on social media, advertising, man. I'm just
okay.
Glad I got a chance to talk to y'all, man. I don't get a chance to talk to y'all as much as
yeah.
I would like to, so.
Well, let's do it then. Let's do it.
And it's a good topic to talk about, man. It's a good topic to talk about because, I mean, I'm on the front lines, so.
Right.
I mean, I got a lot of insight, I got a lot of insight.
Right. I love it. Well, we're going to push it. We're going to become really major for the teachers, and we're going to push it, keep pushing it. And I'm glad. Thanks for calling in. And guys, this is Jeremy Hammock. Guys, wonderful person. Should be in the league right now, still playing ball at tight end. But next time, Mr. Hammock, hope you come in and get more about your resume and stuff. But Marshall High School, East Texas. Jeremy Hammock, thanks again for calling in. All right?
Thanks, man. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Scott, is there anything you want to say before you get off the phone, Scotty?
No, I don't know.
Okay, we're gonna catch up with you. We'll catch up with you, Scotty. Next show. Thanks for calling in, Ms. Gibson.
You guys have a good night.
15th. All right, Ms. Gibson. Ms. Deborah Gibson.
You know, my mom's birthday is January 21st. I didn't know your mother's birthday was in January. They just did a big celebration for my mom last weekend in Ruston, because her birthday is January 21st. Yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
is beautiful. That's
so
amazing
do.
That we're doing this, right? Most things,
yes.
Same month. That's all.
Yes.
We'll
yes.
get on top of
yes.
just on that topic. Just call in. Thanks for calling in, Ms. Gibson.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Guys, hope you guys enjoyed the show. Time moved by really, really fast, hour and a half. We enjoyed it. Hope you got some insight. And for the caller calling in, thank you so much for calling and stating your opinion. And that was very interesting that what you stated, because that's something that is so many avenues that we can branch off to speaking about the teachers. But thanks for calling in for that, and we're going to get on to that next topic and get that discussed. Again, thank you guys for listening to the show, and hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you next week. Good night.